The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome once again to my program. So excited today to have a Central Florida favorite. And by that, I am talking about John Rivers. He is the owner of a very well-known and much-loved barbecue establishment called Four Rivers. John Rivers, welcome to my program.
Oh, thank you so much, Mike. What a pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, every one of my listeners, without a doubt, not only loves the name Four Rivers, but probably has some associated great memories to go along with that name. I know we sure do. It is just great to know that you're in Central Florida. In fact, I spent, before last October, the last 17 years in Gainesville, and I can't tell you how happy I was when you opened up the store in Gainesville. So that's a favorite spot as well. So on behalf of all of the Gainesville and Orlando, and you can fill us in as to other stores, but welcome to our program today, because we are on the air today in Gainesville as well. So they are getting the treat of getting to hear your story, and I am grateful for you.
Thank you.
In my reading about you, I read that you kind of got your background in cooking from Texas. Is that where you grew up?
No, I grew up in Jacksonville, and I actually started cooking there when I was a young child, loved it, and worked in restaurants all the way through high school and all the way through college. I actually only spent a year in Texas, and I say while I was in Texas, I met the two loves of my life. My beautiful wife, Monica, and Brisket.
Yes. Well, that's the part of your bio that I read that led me to think that it might have had a longer influence than it did. But nevertheless, Texas, they are well known for their brisket, aren't they?
They are. That whole region does a great job with it. You know, and growing up here in Florida, you just never had brisket, let alone beef, from a barbecue perspective. So it was completely new to me, and I had a great affinity for it immediately, and it was somewhat of a challenge from her family members who were making fun of me because of the fact that I didn't know what brisket was, that I swore to them that I would learn how to make it better than any Texan. And granted, I didn't even have a smoker at the time nor ever had used one, so it took me literally, Mike, 18 years of trial and error, practicing and learning how to smoke as I was traveling around the country at the time in my healthcare job, to finally learn how to get brisket like what it is that you eat today when you go into the restaurant.
Well, that trial and error is much appreciated. A friend of mine used to say, the trouble with trial and errors is that you make so many errors, they become a trial. But in your case, the outcome was wonderful, and everyone loves it. A friend of mine, just every time we had eaten Four Rivers together, that's what he would go. He'd go for those burnt ends of the brisket and just loved it. And oh my goodness, they're just delicious and tasty. Before we go into more about your restaurant, which I know a lot of people would love to hear about, it just makes me hungry thinking about it. Tell us about your story, how you came to know the Lord.
Well, I grew up in a Christian family, so we always went to church, went to Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, so always a new institutional faith. And you know, it was later in life, after I was married and moved back from Texas, and my wife and I were living here the first time in Orlando, and she was in a Bible study, and I never forget coming home one day, and she's got all this workbooks in front of her, and I said, "What are you doing?" She says, "Well, this is my part of my Bible study. We're studying, and we had to fill out all these questions, and you know, all this stuff which I had never seen before." And she says, "Why don't you try to, you know, come to one of our meetings?" And I said, "Well, we go to church every Sunday. You know, we know the Bible." And little did I know, once I went to one, just how much I didn't know. And it was serendipitous. At the same time, a great mentor of mine, both from a work and a faith perspective, encouraged me and actually funded me to go into a what's called life work leadership today. And back then it was called GOLF. And it was for executives to learn about faith-based leadership. And it was the very first meeting that I went to that just really broke me down and, you know, taught me about the relationship of you and God as a father figure, mm-hmm. not just as a deity. And I never had that personal relationship from a faith perspective. And it just really, it changed me. It changed my orthodox, it changed my doctrine. It changed everything from a faith-based perspective. And I got hungry because I was missing that father relationship in my life. So really started to pursue it. And gosh, this was in 94, I believe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then it just started compiling. The more that I dove into it, which is really a reflection of the more I wanted that relationship, the more I fell in love with God. And, you know, and just everything about it. And, you know, it became part of our life. It moved from just a Sunday event, you know, almost an obligation and somewhat of a routine, because you know when to stand, you know when to sit, you know what the words are coming up. So I remember the first time that we went to a non-Catholic church, and I heard the pastor actually talking, you know, you know, off script. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know you could do that. And then when I heard them pray, it was just so heartfelt. It was, you know, it was completely different. So really got excited and, you know, really started pursuing that. And like I said, it's now the fabric of our life, of our business, and of our family.
That is such a wonderful story, and how true it is of so many people, John, when they're growing up and their experience is that of going to church rather than an understanding of being the church. And mm-hmm. that is really a big difference, isn't it?
It really is. It like I said, you know, all of a sudden it's relational. And when you have a relationship with somebody, you truly care and love about them. And there's an ongoing dialogue and an ongoing development of that relationship. Just like with my wife now, we've been married, oh goodness, we're coming up 29 years. And, you know, the relationship we have today was different from the one that we had 10 years ago, let alone 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same thing with faith and with God. You know, you're growing, you know, and you're understanding more and more as he's revealing more to himself and his love and quite frankly, his mission and purpose for you on a day-to-day basis.
So you mentioned the fact that you had a mentor in your life. Was this mentor the one who was primarily the one who discipled you?
He definitely was the role model. He never went to studies with him. Mm-hmm. He was the CEO of the company that I was working for at the time and became a dear friend. He showed me that the different side of faith, and I say faith and not religion, because I always say, don't let your religion get in the way of your faith. You
know? That's right.
And I so believe that. And no, he was the role model that really, from not just from work, not just from church, but really he showed me from a family perspective. As well, which I was so appreciative because I had you know little children at the time when we first met, and you know it just became wow, I want that relationship with my children as they grow up, and then it was a realization that embedded in the core of that relationship that they had as a family was their shared faith, and just how openly they spoke about it and how they practice it on a day to day basis. So it really became somebody that inspired me to become, you know, more like he and his family. And so that's why I call him my mentor.
John, when you think back now to where you were when you first came into that realization that a relationship with Jesus is more than just attendance of a church service, I'm thinking there are probably, without a doubt, many people who would be listening who might identify with that, and they're just going to church, but their experience might be somewhat like yours was, where it's not as meaningful, it's not based on a relationship. What advice would you give them?
Well, you know, faith and life, for that matter, is a journey, okay? You think about where you are today in your faith, or quite frankly, in your life. It's not the same place you were a year ago or 10 years ago. And you have to start somewhere. There's two pieces about a journey. It has a starting point, okay? Mm-hmm. And the second piece is, it's not going to be the same place that you are, you know, that you're going to. You have to change. So even if you're at a place today that you don't have that relationship, it's okay. The promise of moving towards something is, you know, there's a change that will prayerfully be positive in your life if you're moving toward the right thing. Mm-hmm. So my encouragement is, you know, those baby steps. And, you know, to me it was, let's understand the Bible. You know, let's talk to other people. And it was, you know, it was inquisitive investigator, as well as a little skeptical. And the more that I dove into it and understood it, you know, and the more I got involved in different church communities, and then quite frankly, the more that I saw other men that I aspired to be like and have that life doing these actions, it gave me great confidence to gave me motivation to continue to pursue it. So my encouragement is, you know, find whatever it is that is of interest to you, be it the relationship, be it the historical, be it, you know, the community, or be it the outreach, and start taking those baby steps as every day you draw closer and closer.
You know, the wonderful thing about all that is that you're not doing that all by yourself when you're doing it. And that's the wonderful thing about God, is that He draws us. When that process is beginning, it's not a solitary effort, is it? It's something that we have the help and the unction and the just the persuasion of the power of the Holy Spirit, who is leading us and guiding us and drawing us to God. And I just am so grateful for the way the Lord drew you, my friend, and how God used you in that time, and what an encouragement you are to people who are on that journey. That was well said, and life is a journey, and boy, we're all on that path together, some at different spots and different types of starting places, but it is indeed a journey. And I'm talking to John Rivers today. John is the CEO and president and great cook, I might add, of the well-known restaurant Four Rivers. And we're going to be back with John in a moment here on The Shepherd. Don't you go away. Back on the line today with John Rivers from Four Rivers, not only in Orlando, but in Gainesville. Where are the rest of the, I know you have a couple of spots in Orlando. Where are your restaurants located, John?
Mike, they are all throughout the state. We actually, prior to COVID, we call it the pre-CV 19 days, we were operating 23 locations throughout the state, from Jacksonville to Tallahassee to Gainesville, Tampa, obviously quite a few in Central Florida, a number of them out at Disney, all the way down to Coral Springs.
Mm. I had no idea it was that well spread out, but I'm not surprised to hear, because yours is the finest barbecue I've ever tasted. I absolutely love it, and I'm grateful for it, man. It's wonderful.
Very kind.
Now, you said, a number of years in business after you left Jacksonville, and that was the healthcare industry. First of all, what was your role in that business? And then did you ever think, this will be the follow-up question, did you ever think you would end up cooking full-time? So first of all, what was your role in healthcare?
Actually, it was 20 years for everything from starting my very first job out of college was selling medical supplies. And that's what brought me out to Dallas, Texas. And I was going door to door, doctor's office to doctor's office, selling Band-Aids to medical syringes and everything else. And it led to a career going into hospital sales, which led to a career bringing me to St. Louis, and then into corporate accounts, and then Johnson & Johnson, and worked in strategic department and development, and then brought me back down to Florida, where I had the opportunity to help build a infusion pharmacy specialty distributor, specialty pharmacy company, which is ultimately what I retired from mm-hmm. back in, oh goodness, was that 2005.
Mm-hmm. So you obviously have the gift of sales as well. That's not surprising that you found out that you were able to go in on a cold call and make some medical sales. That was pretty, not everybody I would say can do that. So my second question was, while you were doing that, was your mind, as you're walking in on these hospital visits or doctor office visits, was it on cooking?
You know, not in the beginning, because obviously, you know, early days, it was 100% commission. So if I did not sell, I did not eat.
That's right.
which maybe it was on cooking.
But from the other side of the plate.
From that perspective, yes. No, but it was, you know, as the years progressed, well, actually, when I grew up, I always wanted to own a restaurant. It was just, you know, it's so funny. I had two dreams. One was to be, you know, a cook, and I loved it and wanted to own a restaurant. At the same time, I also wanted to run a pharmaceutical company. I wanted to be a president and CEO of a, you know, a large company. And how blessed I was, backwards order, mm-hmm. but I did have a chance to run that company and to retire from that. But it was along the way that it was in 2004, as I'm going down this exploration of brisket cooking that I mentioned earlier, and those 18 years that it took me to do it, you know, my poor assistant, I would fly all over the country in my job, and she actually couldn't schedule the flight back until I had time to hit one or two barbecue places, and, you know, in every single location. And actually, as you look at our menu today, Mike, every meat is influenced from a different region. You know, it's not all Texas. It's not all Carolina. It's, you know, I found the best tri-tip that I could find in California, and I came home and emulated it. I found the best burnt ends that I liked in Kansas City and came home and emulated that. My ribs come from North Carolina. My pulled pork comes from Alabama. You know, so each one of those, everything on our menu is reflective of all those years of travel and trial and error and learning how to do those. So, you know, it was somewhat of a split camp, you know, in my work days. I had to run the business, and I was blessed with that opportunity to do so. But at the same time, it was so funny how apparent that it was that passion that was in my heart as a child, which I contend is what God gives you when you're born, mm-hmm. it never went away. You know, it was always present and always apparent, no matter what I was doing. And when finally, you know, that call came back in 2004, that opened up the opportunity for me to do cooking, specifically as a ministry. You know, it all, you know, came to life, and, you know, all of a sudden that passion that I had became a much more prominent role in my life that obviously today is my life.
Mm-hmm. And you're still involved in ministry, even though you have a business and you are now the leader of one of the most successful businesses of this type around. You have a real heart to still involve ministry in that, and that's really exciting. So your first work in cooking was really based in your church and kind of helping with that outreach, right?
Well, yes, and I will comment on what you just said. The fact that we are blessed with the success that we have, I believe, very much has to do with the fact that we still run the business as a ministry. Mm. I didn't want to let that comment go without recognizing the correlation between those two. To answer your question, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, this all started back in 2004, actually with a little girl in our community that had cancer. And her family, we learned about them. We didn't know them prior, but we learned about what she was going through. And she was my daughter's age in kindergarten at the time. And it just really moved my wife Monica's heart. And so we started assisting the family from a healthcare perspective, and then realized really what they needed too was funding, was money. And they wouldn't take money from us, but they agreed to my proposal to let me host a barbecue fundraiser for them at their church, which we were not involved in. And they said yes to that. And that was the first time we combined that passion for cooking with actual efforts of our work to help other people. And people have often asked me, you know, what's the secret of success or happiness? And, you know, there within lies the answer. When you're using the passions, okay, the skills that God gave you from the very beginning of your life, and these are things that you can't shake, mm-hmm, you keep moving back to them. When you align your passions to your work, to your efforts, okay, and you're doing it to help other people, you know, that's when that consistent stream of the Holy Spirit is working in all aspects of your life. And I believe that's very much, that's what also leads to not just to success, but to happiness as well.
Yeah, and that's exactly the thought that I was getting from what you were saying. There's very clearly in your work, in your restaurants, there, and when I hear you talk, there's very simply a profound amount of contentment that you appear to have with what you're doing, and the fact that you love tying in ministry with a business in a really a unique way. I don't know that I've ever seen a model quite like yours, but it is wonderfully obvious that you are content in this thing that God has you on, as you called it, the journey that He has you on. So contentment is a great thing, isn't it?
It is. It is. You know, and two, part of that, you know, being content with what you have today, especially when you're on a journey, is the realization that that journey doesn't stop. So, you know, it's also within that contentment is a willingness to continue to change and to continue to move. You have to be very, very careful not to, you know, become set in your ways. You know, you hold on to that thing because you love it so very, very much, and then you resist that change where God is trying to bring you, and that's a pit. You got to be careful about that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's peace within contentment of what you have, but there's also a willingness to trust and, you know, allow God to bring you to whatever that next place is going to be.
When you're considering opening up in a new region, what would be your process, John? Do you just approach it at this point from a business first, or a ministry facet second, or vice versa?
It's, you know, a church has to bring people in and run a successful church in order to do the ministry. And as I tell a lot of young people who want to get into the ministry business and they want to, you know, the ministry business, you better have a business that works first, you know, or you will continuously be out trying to raise money. And that's a tough path to take. So, you know, we look at it from a business perspective first. The ministry is always there. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, I've not found a single community that does not need more God.
That's right.
And more support. So that's a given. You know, if you go to a place and the business is not successful, you won't be able to do the ministry. So, you know, we look at it from a business perspective. You know, there's a lot of different factors into choosing a city and choosing a location. And a lot of those factors have, you know, come to us as a blessing of trial and error and failures. You know, we've got sites that have not worked out for us, and we've got sites that work great. So we start to combine some of the, you know, common characteristics between those two, and, you know, each location, you know, hopefully is a little bit more refined in that process than certainly were a few years ago.
Now, you have a unique plan, and I'd love to hear it, for marketing. How is it that you market? Because you, unlike a lot of businesses, you have a real conviction about how you approach getting the word out about your company. How does that happen?
Well, you know, it goes back, and if there's one word that we've probably spoken about from the very beginning of today's call, is the word relationship. And to me, relationships are so important, you know, from a faith perspective to a family perspective, and to a business and community perspective. You know, if you're operating a business, you have a reliance on your community, which represents your guests, your customers. And in order to have success in that reliance, that means you have to have a personal relationship with them. You need to understand what their needs are. There needs to be give and take, and it's ongoing. And like we spoke about earlier, it's continuously growing. So now think of it from this perspective. If I'm coming into a new city, you know, I can take $1,000 and I can buy an ad, okay, and put it into whatever print that's there. And some people may see it, but really, do they gain an appreciation for who we are? Do we build that relationship by giving out coupons, by doing discounts and stuff like that? No. How about if I take that same $1,000, okay, line up to a couple of schools or a couple of churches and convert that $1,000 into food that we go and we support and we hand out at one of their fundraisers and help them raise money from it. So now if people are meeting two of the most important things I have, my team, get to know us on a personal level, and they're tasting our food. Okay. And all the while, I have aligned affinities. I have lined up with that guest who's coming in to support that particular organization because I've now lined up with them and I'm supporting it too. So I'm building that relationship on trust.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are huge proponents of that. You know, you continue to invest in that relationship with the community, which means that you know, to have a relationship too that's meaningful, you have to listen. You have to know what their needs are. So it's not just pushing out funds or pushing out coupons or everything else. It's, you know, sitting down with the church or sitting down with that ministry organization or that school. And, you know, where's the greatest need that you have? And how can we use some of our assets one way or another to help support that need?
And you know, what I love about what you're doing, this is not just like a gimmick of sales or a gimmick of marketing or anything at all like that. Like all sincere relationships that are really true relationships, they are honest and they represent the real heart of the person who is reaching out. Otherwise, it's not a relationship. It's just some sort of other type of it's almost like a manipulation of that very thing. And I love the fact that you are sincere, and everyone that knows you, John, has that deep affinity for not only your company, but for your leadership. And that's very clear, and you've done a great job with that.
Well, thank you. And it has to be. You think of a personal relationship that you have. If you're not sincere, it falls apart. It has to be sincere.
It is, and it does, and I'm grateful that you have that. I'm talking to John Rivers. He is with Four Rivers, my favorite barbecue spot, and we're going to be back with John in a moment here on The Shepherd. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. On the line with me is John Rivers from Four Rivers Barbecue, the tastiest place around. You know, these have been difficult days. I know even in the break, we're talking about the disdain of, I think everyone feels that disdain of the COVID-19 just talk and the planning. And it's so great to get away. And I have appreciated in the first couple of segments the fact that we did not even have to once mention it. But it is reality for where we're living today. And how has the lockdowns, the limitations, social distancing and all, how has that impacted Four Rivers?
Oh, considerably, Mike. You know, when it first hit 7 weeks ago, we lost half of our business overnight.
Mm.
And which, as you can imagine, from a business owner perspective, is incredibly scary. We were losing $1 million a week. There was a sincere concern and time or period when we were questioning whether we would be existing, 30, 60, 90 days
mm-hmm.
from now. So we had to go to work very, very quickly and make a lot of changes and adapt. And thankfully, we have, you know, wonderful partners and landlords and banks and insurance companies that allowed us to, you know, work through those periods with under deferment, which helped us to stabilize. And the business is we're blessed. It has been able to survive. You know, we had to shut down 6 of our locations during the period. And, we're certainly not back to, I don't think anybody's back to 100%. And we're questioning whether, when that day will be that we are back to 100. But, we're surviving right now. The team has done great in that period of time. And we might not have, openly, admittedly, we might not have all of our locations when all this is said and done, Mike. We might lose a couple in this process. Which is sad because you put your heart into every location, but we got to protect the brand and make sure we have places for people to work. And one nice thing that has come from this, of the many, there's always a blessing in any challenge that's out there. This really rose to the surface the need for so many of the specific needs in the community that our foundation has focused on over the years. And one of those biggest ones is food and food insecurity. And, it's so funny. All these initiatives and efforts are happening in multiple communities all throughout the state around, people who need food. And the number of meal distributions today from the food banks to the United Ways to Salvation is at an all-time high. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I keep pointing out to people is that the folks who are hungry today are not hungry because of COVID-19. They're hungry. They were hungry before COVID-19 and they didn't have food then, and if there's a prayer that I have in this is that, this amount of awareness and community outpouring to all these people continues, that it's not just during the plight of COVID-19, but it's, there's a greater awareness. So we started, we pivoted, which seems to be the key word during COVID-19 survival, both from a business perspective and from a ministry perspective. We created within our foundation an initiative called Feed the Need. And the need being what we are seeing in the community of so many people having food issues. And it goes back to that relationship that we were talking about earlier. It all started with the public school system here in Orlando, Orange County Public School. As we spoke to our community partners and found out where are your needs and where can we help? In the midst of our business crumbling or yes, challenging, you still look for those opportunities. And as it turned out, their meal program that they were doing on a day-to-day basis for all the students that kind of fall into that Title III, below the poverty line, it was a beautiful program. It's done all over the state, but it wasn't reaching all the students in the Orlando, Orange County area. So we volunteered to line up next to the schools and bring food out to those students in areas that they weren't being fed. Well, here's the great blessing that came from that single phone call. And this is 6 weeks ago. 6 weeks ago, Mike, we were not doing any what we call emergency meals. Mm-hmm. Okay. Today, we closed the month last month. We served 263,000 emergency meals in 5 different counties throughout all of Florida. And because of this initiative of getting food to people who need it, we were actually able to create 250 jobs in the process of it.
That is amazing.
It really has been so encouraging and invigorating to the team, because we had to let go, a lot of people. And when we did, we made the promise that we would do everything that we could to bring them back. And who knew that it would be a marketplace ministry initiative that was the means to actually bring them back and give them their jobs.
So once again, the blend of your heart for ministry comes right through, and you guys are just doing an incredible amount of ministry work in that way. That is an amazing number, over 200,000 meals given. I know that is so appreciated, John. And when you look back now over the next couple of weeks, as you're planning with the phase one now being in effect of reopening, are you looking at big changes in your dining room? Or are you going to stay with your current plan for the next couple of weeks?
We're watching this week. We're fortunate. We're blessed that most of our locations, absent of one, has large patios. So we opened all the patios yesterday, being Monday, and we'll see how that goes this week. And we'll gauge the, you know, the big question mark is how many of the customers or the guests will want to come back to restaurants. And, you know, our number one priority is to provide a safe environment for our guests and provide a safe environment for our employees. So we are making changes in our dining room, actually looking at an industrial cleaning company who would come in and, you know, clean everything, you know, to a degree farther than we could, so that we prepare the dining room so that we can start welcoming guests as early, maybe by the end of this week, if not, then by probably next week.
As I hear you say, the question of whether or not people are going to be coming back in, I, for one, just to chime in with my opinions, buddy, I think that you're going to find that people are ready to bust the doors down to get back in. When I'm talking to people, there is a great desire to be back out, eating in restaurants, fellowshipping again across the table. I believe that's going to happen. And of course, we all want it to be safe. Just like you've said, you want the safety for not only your customers, but also the safety for the employees that you have as well. I'm talking to John Rivers. We're going to be back with John coming up in just a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike. I'm on the phone with John Rivers, and he is with Four Rivers. And John, you know, you talked about an expression that you used in the last segment about, or the one before that, about C-19, I think is how you said it, like a dating method. What do you think post C-19 will be? Do you have any idea of how long you think it would be before businesses like yours will be able to get a handle on that?
You know, Mike, from a business perspective, there are so many different variables that will impact that answer. You know, I do stand in faith that be it 6 months or be it a year from now, that life will be more aligned to what it was like prior to CV-19. I think there will be changes. You know, just like after 9/11, we never went back to exactly the way it was, and I think that will be the case. But I think there'll be a greater semblance to that life than today. The speed of getting there is going to depend a lot on the next couple of weeks. I think we're probably at one of the most telling, if not vulnerable, periods because of the potential of relapse as people begin to congregate together. You know, you look at the American stats, which are so encouraging compared to the, you know, the poor people that what they went through in Italy and France and Spain and some of these other areas in the country. You know, and a lot of those stats, just, and I say stats from an encouraging perspective, the number of cases and the number of deaths, you know, what are we sitting at? I think 48,500 today versus 2 million, which was the original projection for the United States, is because of the great steps that we took as a country and social distancing and cleaning and everything else. So we just got to be careful as we start to move back into normalcy, that they're, you know, how much of a relapse could we possibly see in cases? So, again, I stand in faith. We will get back to a normal. What that expedient time frame looks like will depend a lot on, I think, these next 2 weeks, personally, you know, whether we have to slow it back down or whether we can go faster and to jump back into things.
Well, I'm grateful we have leaders like yourself that will be helping make those decisions and kind of leading the way by example. There are a lot of people who are just praying and hoping that the steps they take are the right ones. So I know that there's a lot of people who will benefit from watching your company and how you proceed and using that as a bit of a model for themselves. So thank you for all that you're doing. And I know that if anybody knows you, they're going to know that you're doing this prayerfully. And that is something that is very important too, to take the name of the Lord into our prayer and say, Lord, have mercy upon us as we pray for our businesses. Tell us a little bit, if you will, about the name Four Rivers. When I've been talking with people, and I've told a few of my friends and workmates that I was going to be interviewing John Rivers, who owns Four Rivers, they didn't even know that there was a tie-in to the name to you. And so there's a tie-in that's even deeper than that. Why don't you share that?
There is. And that's been one of the funniest things over the years, Mike, is to hear people come up and tell me so convincingly that, oh, who are your four friends? Who are your four brothers? Who are your three brothers? You know,
right.
You know, there's so many different concoctions of ideas of, you know, how the name came about. The name has two origins to it. Way, way, way back when my wife and I were dating and I was sharing with her, the idea was we used to drive back and forth from Texas because we didn't have money to fly back then. Of this idea that I wanted to open a barbecue place in Florida and make it, you know, kind of a similar one to Texas style and serve brisket and, you know, have it come through in the line and this and that. And I said, let's come up with a name. And it needs to feel like, you know, a ranch, you know, a true Texas ranch. And at the time, oh, goodness gracious, it came about later. Then we had two children. And she says, well, you know, why don't we just call, because there are four of us in our family, why don't we just call it Four Rivers? And I'm like, well, that's pretty simple. She says, well, that's how most ranches are. You know, there's not a whole lot of, you know, depth, you know, behind the name. It's just, you know, it's reflective of the family. And then it solidified as we were studying scripture later, and we found in Genesis, in particular, in the very beginning of Genesis, where God is talking about from the Garden of Eden, four rivers will flow. Mm-hmm. And there's different interpretation of what each one of those rivers represent. But, you know, it is love. It is peace and compassion and strength and prosperity. You know, there's lots of different things. And I just like, you know what, it solidified. Okay, we're on the right path. God just, you know, those same words are in the Bible. And it's in a positive sense that from four rivers, all these blessings will flow. So that became our name.
I think of your name and your logo, and it does look like, it looks like a brand that Texans would have used on their cattle.
Great. Yeah, that brand, funny enough, my background is marketing. I was sitting in a healthcare meeting dreaming about this business and obviously not paying attention to the meeting. And I still have some of the original artwork where I started doodling.
You need to frame that and put that up on your office wall.
That's how it came to life. That's how we created it.
Well, that is such a delightful story to hear. We've got time. I'd love to hear the workings of your foundation. You mentioned that. Tell us about the Four Rivers Foundation.
Well, yeah, the foundation was formalized, I think, about 3 years ago. You know, it grew out of the ministry. The ministry, as we mentioned earlier, was the true genesis of the business and has been a constant guidelight for the business. So it's not like we just started doing this 3 years ago, but we formalized it as we began to branch out and start working with other partners. And the first and really the biggest expression that we found there, you said, what are we really focusing on? You know, we had to narrow things down, and education is such a big piece of our heart. Caring for children from education or from a food, mm-hmm. And food insecurity perspective is such a piece of our heart. And you know, I don't know why, but God put in my heart a long time ago agriculture. You know, just growing and working in the land, and you know, we can dive into that from a scriptural perspective, and you know, you kind of trace it back to that's what God said to do to Adam was work the land. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is when it was a blessing. It wasn't after the falling. And then, you know, just a natural of being the entrepreneur in the business is, you know, you create economy, you know, you generate jobs. And so we said, all right, what can we do to focus on those four things? And we came up with the idea that, you know, let's create what's now called the Four Roots Farm. And the Four Roots Farm is a teaching education facility that God has put in our heart to build here in Central Florida in Orlando. And, you know, once we went to work on it and started praying about it, flash forward to today, and it's been 3 years since we've been working on this. God has given us, through a wonderful organization here called Dr. Phillips, 38 acres in the middle of the city that we are building a it's classrooms, restaurants, to learning centers, to conference centers, to meeting spaces. The community college, Valencia, is moving their entire agriculture program onto our campus so that we can teach kids. IFAS is involved. The University of Florida is on our board. And all the produce that we grow from it is actually going to be used. It's going to be grown by students, and it's going to go back into the public school system so that we can provide students with fresh, healthy produce on a day-to-day basis. And then all the money that we generate through the restaurants and through the meetings, and we're building an event center for weddings and everything else, all that is being done under the foundation, and all that continues to be poured back into the community to support children, to support families, and support education.
Oh, that is wonderful. That is an amazing array of, you've got directions here and there and everywhere within all of this thing, even a venue like that for weddings and things like that. That will be fun. So this is an exciting thing. It's ongoing. And like you said, it's on a journey as well.
It very much is. You know, the funny thing about COVID-19, Mike, is the Feed the Need initiative.
Mm-hmm.
You think everything that we said that we're going to do in the farm, okay, we're actually doing it today because of Feed the Need. We're raising money. We're feeding kids. We're teaching people. And just the irony of that hit me the other day. Like, wow, God has allowed us to put forward what we said our intentions were much down the road. And I can't go into all the details because we don't have time, but it has accelerated so many of our programs and making them real today of things that we had prayed to do when we had the farm built.
Well, I am so grateful that God gave you the foresight to even dream about those things, John, because none of us would have seen this thing coming, and it has been one of those things to where it has made a great need that we never even knew could possibly be expressed. I mean, I don't think anyone could have ever believed that we'd be seeing the things that we've seen with this COVID thing. But thank you for all that you've done and that are doing, and this feeding program that you're doing with hundreds of thousands of people being blessed. Thank you for that. This is an exciting, exciting thing that Four Rivers is about. John Rivers, my guest today, it's been a real pleasure to have you on my program, John.
Well, thank you, Mike. It's been an absolute delight. And like I said earlier, in the midst of all this COVID-19 talk, to bring faith back in. And it's been a nice reminder today for me of how we started and what God put on my heart as a purpose. So thank you for blessing me with that.
Well, you are welcome. And friends, when you go out to Four Rivers and you ask the blessing on the food, you'll know that it's already been blessed in a real way, a real positive way, as this man himself is a blessing. God bless you. And thank you, John. And friends, thanks for being with me today on Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd.